This is our second session on the theme of the cross at the center. In our previous session, I pointed out three major reasons why we have to keep the cross at the center, why God's plan and our salvation really doesn't work when the cross is displaced. These were the three reasons, which I will simply state without commenting. First of all, the cross represents one all-sufficient sacrifice by which God has provided for every need, and there is no other basis for his provision. Second, through the cross, we can receive the release of the supernatural grace that we need to do what the New Testament tells us we ought to do. Apart from that grace, we're confronted by a standard of living much too high for us to achieve. And third, the cross is the basis on which God releases the supernatural confirmation of his word that is part of the New Testament message through mighty signs and wonders. And only when the gospel message is attested that way can we say with Paul, we have fully preached the gospel. Now I want to give you three more reasons why we need the cross at the center. And my third reason is divided into two parts. So if you add the first three and the second three, that makes six. And if the sixth one is divided into two, that makes seven. And I'm always satisfied when I've arrived at seven. I feel that's it. I don't need to look for any more. So the next reason, and this is extremely important, and one which our enemy would wish that we never discovered, and he'll do everything in his power to prevent us apprehending it or understanding it or applying it. This reason is that the cross is the sole basis of the total defeat of Satan. Through the cross, Christ administered to Satan a total, permanent, irrevocable defeat. Satan cannot change that. He realized it just too late, because when he procured the death of Jesus on the cross, he procured his own defeat. But ever since that, he's been doing everything he can to obscure that fact and to keep it from the eyes of the church. And if you go against Satan in your own life or in any situation on any other basis but the fact that Jesus defeated him through the cross, you'll be defeated, because he is much stronger and much cleverer than we are in our own wisdom and strength. In the ministry of deliverance from evil spirits, which the Lord led me into nearly 30 years ago now, I soon discovered that demons are not impressed by our theology. They're not impressed by our denomination. You can tell them I'm Pentecostal or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Presbyterian. They could care less. But when you deal with them on the basis of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, then it really is true. The demons believe and tremble. And I've seen demons trembling many times when confronted with the reality of the defeat that Satan suffered through the cross. I want to turn to a scripture in Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And I have to say this is a somewhat complicated statement, and I'm not going to be able to take time to elaborate it at length, but I trust that the Holy Spirit will make it clear to you. Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he, that is God the Father, has made alive together with him, Jesus Christ the Son, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, I'd like you, if you have your finger in the Bible, keep it in that passage. because we'll go back there. But turn for a moment to Luke chapter 11, verse 21 and 22, which is a parable, which I believe unfolds the truth that's stated doctrinally in Colossians chapter 2. Jesus says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. The picture there is of a man, a tyrant, an oppressor, who has a very strong castle of which he's total master. And in that castle, he's amassed a great deal of ill-gotten spoil and booty from people he's oppressed. He also has under his control a multitude of slaves whom he forces to do his will. And he's sitting there, fully armed, as he thinks, undefeatable. But another man who is stronger than he comes against him, defeats him, and notice this, takes from him all his weapons, and then releases his captives and plunders his goods. Now, who is the first strong man? Satan, that's right. And the second strong man is Jesus. So that's a little parable about what Jesus did. Satan had everything under his control. He had enslaved humanity, robbed us of all the wealth and the blessings that God our Father intended us to have. And he was sitting there undefeatable. And then, praise God, along came Jesus. And without any military weapons, through the cross, Jesus administered a total, permanent, irrevocable defeat to Satan. Having defeated him, listen, he took from him all his weapons. And then he said to the captives, now you can go free. And he said, while you're going, help yourself to some of the spoils. See, that's Jesus' own picture of what he accomplished by his death on the cross.